All right, I am with David Meltzer. He has Office Hours and The Playbook. And I always start these off with the same question. What do you do for a living?
When I find out, I'll let you know. No, right now, today, I do content and invest.
Okay.
And that's the primary source of my income is by doing content and investing in companies.
Okay. And you chat with thousands of people.
Yes.
I know we were talking earlier. Could you give me a number on how many people you think you have interviewed total in your life and been interviewed by?
Oh, probably close to 10,000 in my life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is absurd. So I know that you have great advice for people. I've seen you do speaker conventions and stuff like that along with your podcast. What advice would you give the average 18-year-old out there to be successful? If you could kind of boil it down to maybe one or two talking points.
Simple, man. Ask for help. Find someone who sits in a situation you want to be in and ask them for directions on how to get there. In fact, your whole brand was built off of my advice.
Okay. There right? we go. You're like the founding father, basically.
Exactly. I'm Abe Lincoln.
It's like, I didn't even realize it, but you
I'm dishonest Abe.
Dishonest. Are you involved in the crypto and NFT sphere? I wanted to know your opinions on that.
I am. And the reason is I started my career in technology out of law school. And so I always look at capabilities of technology, whether it was Web 1.0, that's how old I am, Web 2.0 or Web 3.0. Mm-hmm. And the capabilities of NFT and crypto are incredible. But 99% of the companies that were around in Web 1 are gone. Mm-hmm. 99% of the companies today will be gone, but Web 3 won't be. So look at the capabilities. I'm all over it.
Are you interested in like the whole like metaverse, like VR kind of stuff? Like what are your thoughts on that? Because some people are not about it. Some people are like, it is the future. What do you think about all that?
Absolutely. Once again, the capabilities are incredible, especially I'm in the sports and entertainment. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world. And so the application of the metaverse to sponsorship, endorsement, entertainment, and sports is absolutely off the charts when it comes to the next 10 or 20 years.
It's crazy. Like the future of like advertising personally to people like that. Like I know like augmented reality is already kind of like in the forefront of stuff. Like you could be walking around and see like a billboard that only you see from your point of view with your glasses on that's targeted to you. I think in advertising, it's crazy, the possibilities.
I saw something here at SoFi Stadium where you can buy a season ticket, but it moves with the game and you have your own, you put in your own demographics and they sell advertising against each person that's buying their season ticket, knowing their demographic, their interests, et cetera. But if, for example, we had this suite and you look, and they're going to the other end zone for a touchdown. Imagine we just moved the suite over there and the viewpoint is going to be like we got front row seats over there.
Oh,
so you follow the game around and you got your own advertisement.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So if you don't realize the capability and the value of that, you're missing out.
Yeah. And for those that are just listening, we are at SoFi Stadium. We're up in like a fancy box suite kind of area. How did you, you said you had a 10-year, can
lease.
You explain like 10-year lease? How do you even get that? And like, what do you use this area for? Seems like the chill spot of the century, honestly.
We're so blessed. So I was friends with the people who managed the new stadium and they came to me as an anchor tenant and they said, hey, if you go ahead and sign a 10-year lease, you can go to every football games, concert, but also have 365 access to your offices. So if you look here, we have, you know, variety of choices for podcast studios, but down there, there's a training room, 2-story training room.
Crazy.
And so there's so many different aspects. Now, little secret to people about entertainment, you know, there's a content provider. You get a lot of things that you get to do are tax write-offs.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot easier to write off a lease than it is if I bought a suite.
Oh, okay.
Because a lease is absolutely irrevocably a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Buying a suite gets a little bit shady depending on what you're using the suite for.
Yeah. And you can have like clients come here. It honestly seems like the ultimate like networking spot. Like, oh, come join me for the game and we'll chat business.
Oh, yeah. Or just come to my office and we'll chat business. And it's so close to the airport that people just want to come in because you have the coolest office in the world.
Yeah. It's actually insane that you can do that. So I don't know. It's awesome. But I wanted to ask too, like, do you know about, what is your opinion on the sports world and how it's changing? Like in the last 20 years, I know you said you got started like 20 or so years ago doing it, maybe 30 or so.
Yeah. You can age me. Yeah. It's 30.
Don't mean that in a mean way.
No, that's 30, cool, man. Okay. Hey, look, I love my life and I know I got a lot more to live and I enjoy each stage of my career. But sports is not going anywhere. It's never gone anywhere. It's the great uniter. And so it's just how quickly is it going to expand and how are we going to interact with sports? One of the biggest aspects is fantasy and gambling because it brings, now that it's legalized, it brings such a great nuance to competition because now everyone has a vested interest in a competition and you could bet on anything, which I think enhances sports exponentially.
Totally. I mean, I'll be watching like ping pong at 3 a.m. in like China and I put like $50 down and I'm like, invested. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, because I know like five, just until recently, the whole world of gambling has changed completely, right?
Completely like, worldwide. Yeah. So, so many areas you could never. And then just the technology allows you to pull. So you can do like silly things. Like, is this going to be a run or a pass? Because remember, the biggest issue with gambling was the security and latency of the network. Mm. So when I say latency of the network is if it's too slow, some people may already know the outcome and now you could corrupt the gambling
the arbitrage because you're right thing, yeah.
So now that we have security and latency of the network, you're able to do these cool bets that you never could have even done. Even if it was legal, you never could have utilized technology in the right way to do it.
That's wild. Yeah, it's changing. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're traveling around a lot. You're doing tens of thousands of interviews with people. Are you married and do you have children and how has that impacted your work life? Like, how do you balance that if that's the case?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been married a long time, 25 years. I've known my wife since the fourth grade. Hated me, by the way. I asked her through a friend because I was chicken. Sixth grade camp. I asked my best friend to ask her to go steady. And she told him, no, tell him to ask me himself.
What a wingman, though.
Yeah,
at least you tried.
I threw an egg at her. Hated me.
You threw an egg at her?
Hit her in the back of the head. And she had like Rosanna Dana really... Like I called it pubic hair, and I know this is public. So my wife had pubic hair as hair. Yeah. It's 12-year-old.
Did the egg I nailed break
her.
On
oh
her
yeah,
head?
Yeah. Her mom wanted to bring it to my house to show my mom what I had done. Yeah. She didn't let her. But anyway, after I made a lot of money in my 20s, my wife gave me a second chance.
Oh, classic.
So I have a wife. I have four children, but my wife saved my life. I, you know, made a lot of money at a young age. Mm. You could take this as a warning.
Okay.
You know, basically gave me an ultimatum in my 30s that I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. Because like you, when I was young, I had good values. I could tell. I had conversations with you. You know, you're a good person. You're really doing this to help people, to help them. And my life changed. I got involved too much in the luxury cars and the luxury world.
Yes. Don't spend too much on cars, people.
Here's the way I tell it. I lived in a world when I was born, not enough. Single mom, six kids, worked two jobs. We didn't have enough to eat, right? Then I moved to this millionaire world of buying shit I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. And then my wife, when I had three children at the time, woke me up and said, hey, I'm leaving. You're going to end up dead. You're surrounding yourself, doing the wrong things. And if it wasn't for that, I probably would have been dead. And I ended up losing all my money. And luckily my wife stuck with me, but I stuck to the values that you have and I have today of gratitude and forgiveness, accountability, inspired living, you know, real good, doing good for good sake. And here I am 17 years later, making more money than I ever have, helping more people and having more fun.
That's insane.
And I have four kids now. I have a 13-year-old son with three daughters. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. So how did you make your first million?
So I worked in the internet when even Justice Scalia told me that nobody will ever do research on the internet. You need books.
He said that too?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just
in 1992. No, my company, we were trying to sell legal research online.
Oh, in the 90s?
In 92.
Oh, in 92?
Yeah, we ended up selling.
What was the computer like? Was it like?
It was DOS. You may not know what that. Monochrome screen, one color.
I was born in 97, so I'm like, I got a little dial-up
action. We sold the company in 1995 for $3.4 billion to Thomson Reuters. So in 95, that was a lot of money. Well, I mean, obviously, it's a lot of money today.
It's a lot of money in either situation, but even more money. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I made my first million in 9 months working in the internet, selling legal research online.
So you weren't kidding when you said like you're the pioneer of the internet in that aspect.
When I went to the Supreme Court to show them this research tool, I had it on a luggage dolly, the computer. There's no laptops.
Like Pursuit of Happiness style. Literally.
It was an XT computer that was like home built.
Oh my
and
God.
And it had a whole monitor with it right on a luggage cart. And it was all green, the screen.
People are like, what is that?
Yeah. It was so good. I'm old.
My gosh. Okay. Oh, I did want to ask too about what are your thoughts on WWE right now? I know it's popping off. It's yeah. You have the sports kind of fighting background. What are your thoughts on that right now?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure everyone knows I'm David Meltzer because there's a famous Dave Meltzer.
Yes.
Who's a WWE guy from the very beginning.
Not your alter ego?
Yeah, you know, no, he's a good guy. He's actually even older than I am. But more importantly, huge fan of it. With sports, and I've been blessed with Hulk Hogan. I went to go see Joe Osteen, the famous preacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Hulk Hogan and Randy Hart.
In Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Randy Hart, right? And I asked, and this is why WWE is going to be so great, is I asked, you know, Hulk, I said, is wrestling real? And he said, wrestling's real, but the outcomes are predetermined. Okay. And I think that's why wrestling is so entertaining, is like, we're not fooling anyone, but Hulk has had like 20 surgeries.
I mean,
like,
they're spinning around the gym.
They're really hitting the ground.
Yeah.
They're really doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so entertaining.
It's like a
and
theater.
Nobody gives a shit if the outcome's already predetermined. I've been around sports a long time. I've seen games that you didn't think the outcome was already predetermined, and I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, probably. Yeah.
Just ask Don King. Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I want to go back to and circle back to the more investing aspect. A lot of my followers are interested in real estate. Stocks. I want to know if you invest in individual stocks or what percentage, like, you don't have to get specific with your portfolio or something like that, but like, in general, do you invest more in like stocks, real estate, or like, where do you kind of pull your assets?
Well, I'm a big real estate guy, but I also believe that everyone should have their own timing and risk tolerance. Mm. So most people don't take inventory of their own timing and risk tolerance. And then if you know your timing and risk tolerance of your investment, you now can go seek the experts and say, hey, look, I want to spend 10% on super risky stuff, 10% on moderately risky, 80% on stuff for my old age, or whatever your percentage is, right? And then there's tons of people like you do, is go out and ask them, hey, what would you do? So for me, I'm older. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of money again. So I have very secure investments. I call them secured assets in the fact that you can borrow against them at any time without some of them even applying. So things like real estate, and knowing your background, you know why I invest in real estate.
Yes.
But I'll give you another reason why that most people don't think about. I have a law degree. That's how I got into legal research.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I passed the bar.
Don't you do?
Yeah. And I got it when I, you know, right out of school, I went to college, then law school, and that's how I got on the internet selling legal research. But one thing I learned about real estate, every law in America, the Constitution, it was built to protect one person in the U.S., the landowner. So historically, all the laws are to the advantage of the landowner. So if you're going to invest in anything, you can leverage your money. You can do all these things that you can't do with any other asset. That's why when you're traveling around asking people, hey, how'd you get that car? 95 or more percentage of them own real estate.
Yeah.
Because they're taking advantage of it. Also, another one is insurance-based assets, IULs, annuities. Today, with high interest rates, you can get a ladder of T-bills that are more liquid than a T-bill, a treasury bond bill.
Yeah.
So I'm investing mostly. Now, I always have a minimum, and I determine every year my timing and risk tolerance. I have a minimum of 10% of every penny I make goes to risky shit.
Okay. Like crypto, like, kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or worse. I go for lottery tickets.
Like soybean features.
Basically lottery tickets, man. Yeah. But I always invest in the entrepreneur. So like if you had a company, I'd bet on you.
Okay.
I don't care what the company was. I really don't. I don't even waste my time with due diligence. I want to find a kid who must be what they can be and won't quit because they'll figure it out with my money.
Gotcha. Let them do the lifting. Exactly. You provide the capital.
I've already paid the dummy tax. Let them go ahead.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like that 10%. I kind of have some crypto. I have like 6 or 7%. Maybe it's a little closer to 10 now. But yeah, nice. I think I don't want to. I'm like kind of conservative too with how I invest. I'm mostly like S&P 500 and like, you know, but I do want to get some real estate.
Yeah.
People are worried about
I would get some gold and silver if I was young. I have it, and I would make it liquid gold and silver, meaning coins.
Okay.
Because it's just a security for me with the world, with the BRICS banks, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you got to go to Canada, for example, or Portugal or to Mexico because our economy goes really haywire, you know, it's nice to be able to grab a bag of coins and have an extra $250,000.
Olden days. Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. What do you think of all the BRICS stuff going on here? Do you think there's actually like a legitimate possibility of the dollar losing its reserve currency status like in the next 5-10 years?
I don't, because look, they're big enough, they change the rules, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we
yeah.
saw that during COVID, right? All of a sudden, oh, we'll just print some of this or do this.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I do think that's why gold, if you look at behind the scenes, people that are talking about gold not being a good standard are buying up a ton of gold. Think about it. Go back and listen, young people. The people who are telling you that gold won't be the standard are buying up a ton of gold.
Okay.
China. Yeah, Saudi, that's so true. They're buying up a ton of gold. Why would they buy up a ton of gold and tell everyone not to buy gold? I wonder.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder,
it's
yeah.
Straight out. Look, most of the things you see in the world are straight out street hustles. It's just the billionaires in the countries just know the street hustle better than anyone. It's like three-card Monty, but a little bit more complex.
Yeah, yeah. Do you gamble? Do you go to, when you go to Vegas, are you gambling?
For entertainment purposes. So, you know, I have a certain amount. Just the same as if we came here for a game.
Yeah.
You know, I might have a certain budget for the day.
Yeah. And it like, has to... table games. Are you doing like table games?
Oh, craps, dude.
Craps.
Because I want to talk as much trash. I want to be able to stand up. Right. Who wants to sit down?
Yeah.
Right. I want to be able to scream as loud as I can.
Yeah.
Right. And literally drink and have fun with everyone around the table.
It's a good time, craps. Yeah. I've also become kind of addicted to blackjack when I go. It's like dangerous because I go to Vegas all the time.
I don't have patience for blackjack because I will double.
Oh, yeah.
Right. If I lose, I'm like, oh, I'll just double it again.
Oh,
the deeper your pockets, the more screwed you can get.
It's like the roulette issue for me. I lose and I don't really play roulette anymore because honestly, it's a nightmare and the odds are bad with the double greens. But like, and then I'm probably going to upgrade to poker maybe eventually, but I got to get good. I can't just walk
go in. Go talk to Dan Fleischman. He'll teach you.
Okay.
Yeah, good dude.
Are you friends with Dana White?
Yeah, Dana White. I'm friends with Forrest Griffin, who's the head of the fighter development. A lot of those guys are good friends of mine. Michael Chandler and I, he's fighting Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
So I do entrepreneurial coaching with a lot of those guys. Mike Chandler's probably one of my favorite UFC fighters.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Meatball Molly. Yeah, we're pretty well in grade.
Yeah, it seems like you're the sports world itself. So I know you've written books before. Can you give three books?
8 books total, but yes.
And they're all, and some of them are best selling, right?
I haven't published all 8. I keep writing a book every 6 months. So right now I published 4 of the 8 books. So Connected to Goodness is a bestseller, the first one that I've written.
Okay.
Compassionate Capitalism was more for schools.
Okay.
It gives you a mindset of being a good person. Do good to make money is basically the tagline.
Okay.
Then Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, sold over 500 million copies. We wrote a book called Creating the Life You Love. It's a workbook is for young people to create the life you love.
Yeah.
And then my latest bestseller is Game Time Decision Making, which Tillman Fertitta wrote the foreword for. He owns the Rockets, Golden Nugget, Landry's, those restaurants.
Baller.
Yeah. Billionaire baller. So we wrote Game Time Decision Making. I use sports stories to teach people how to make good decisions with their lives.
Oh, very cool. And I just want to know like the process on how you make a book. Like you sit down there. You just get it going? Like, how long does it take? Like, really, like, the details on, like, technically.
Yeah, let me tell you.
How do you get it? You pitch it.
And I'd love to help you because your book would be great. So, for me, what I do is I write down lessons and stories every day that resonate with me. I don't write down everything I learn. I don't write down nothing thinking I'll remember it. But every day I have at least 2 or 3 lessons that I've learned and stories that teach me those lessons. So when I write a book, I come up with an idea, you know, like for me, I'm thinking about doing my next book starting in July.
Okay.
And you know, you had the great resignation.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it the great realization.
Oh.
And what I think is happening right now is that older people are realizing that technology has allowed young people to be less productive, but create more production. Meaning the old people don't know how easy some things are.
Yeah,
especially now with
ChatGPT. Yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, that's it. So I want to write a book. So what I'm doing is I take these lessons and stories, right, like ChatGPT and stories that I learned from that, and I organize them into 10 chapters. And then each chapter I teach. So I do free Friday trainings for over 23 years. And so I teach. I also give my books for free, by the way. So if any of your audience emails me, I will sign a copy of my book, send it to them, and pay for shipping and the book.
Oh, okay.
David@dmeltzer.com. Put in your notes.
Okay.
David@dmeltzer.com. Free. Oh, I give thousands of books away.
That's awesome.
For this reason. But to this point, I go ahead and teach it. Then through AI, I transcribe it. Then I edit it. Then I send it to a publishing consultant who cleans it into good English.
Yeah. The commas, the beat.
Then I actually read it when it's done. I write the intro. I read it again and write the conclusion. Send it back to the publishing consultant to clean it up. And I have a book.
That's so cool. Yeah. Not I never write one word. Not charging. Like,
I never write one book. All audio.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay. Well, amazing. Well, I think that's all we got here. Quite the background here. We'll enjoy that. Well, David Meltzer, check him out, obviously. The playbook, Office Hours.
And the free book, david@dmeltzer.com.
I would do that. I don't know why you wouldn't. So hit him up. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Daniel.